the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Ninjas, the show where we talk about games, anything game-related, movies, television, you name it. My name is Steve Landau, and with me, as always,
Matthew Smith
and Rob Domingo.
Good to see you guys again. I know it's been a while.
I don't even see you right now.
Well, I'm right behind you.
Oh, okay.
It's been many a moon.
Yeah, I don't even know how to do this anymore.
It has been a long time.
I feel like we're coming back from a new season like Game of Thrones, so I feel like this is season two of Thumbstick Ninjas.
Boom.
Well, you know, we can talk about Game of Thrones if you want. We can talk about anything. Our topic today is just catching up, because we've been gone for so long.
Did you say catch up or mustard?
I don't have a witty pun to follow up with so
I'm all about it.
You win this round.
Your joke over here.
How you guys been, though?
You know, it's been busy, as evidenced by our lack of podcasts.
You guys got a lot of good things coming up, though, right? A
lot of good things coming up. I'm actually prepared to talk about some of them now. You will remember in a previous podcast, we sort of alluded to a project that I was working on.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Rob, I think you asked me about it, and I said, oh, I'm not prepared to talk about it.
Yeah. I was very disappointed in that answer. Now I'm ready.
Well, I am prepared to talk about it, because we are going to be launching it this Saturday, which is, what is the date? Because not everyone is going to be listening. Saturday is the 1st? Wait a second. I'm gonna check this right now. If my phone would work properly.
Please stand by.
Yes, technical errors.
Saturday is the 30th, I'm sorry.
Saturday is the 30th, so we will be going live on the 30th. Now, what are we going live with? That's a good question. Let me answer that for you. Me and a couple friends, actually one of whom was on our podcast some time ago, Matt Jeffrey, and another friend, Ben Warren, we're working on a YouTube series of Let's Play and Let's Learn videos for board games.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And we've already shot, oh my god, like, how many, like 10 or 12 board games already?
Okay.
And we'll be going online with three of them, which will equate to about six videos. One video that is a Let's Learn and one that's a Let's Play for each board game that we've done.
Oh, nice.
And very excited about it. We're called the Dice Breakers. You can look us up.
That's very, very nice.
We're on YouTube. Like, we're on the Twitters. We're on the Facebooks. We're on everything.
And thanks to you guys, I'm back into board gaming. You guys introduced me to a lot of games a few years ago. So I'm very excited to see this come to fruition.
And I'm very excited to have you be a part of some of them.
Oh, I will be a part.
In fact, some of the videos that we upload will have Rob in them.
Oh my god, it's like, man, we've preempted this before. We're just setting you up to promo your own YouTube video. Okay.
Well, I'm done with that now, because this is Thumbstick Ninjas, and
that's right.
We're going to put the Dice Breakers aside and talk about what everyone else is up to.
Yes. So there has been, of course, quite a bit in our absence as far as news. So I think we should kind of divide it up. We can kind of tackle games, we can tackle movies, we can tackle TV. So what do we want to dive into first
You're talking, so you go.
Okay, you decide.
We should just pick like random stuff. We don't have to do games first. We can just do whatever we want.
You know what? I'm going to decide right now.
Okay, boom.
Let's talk about this one thing that's actually on the desk in front of us. Sorry you guys can't see this. But it is the Steam controller that I recently unboxed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
Posted a video on our Facebook.
I did. I posted an unboxing video. You might be able to tell I was very excited to receive this item.
You opened that shit with a bottle cap.
I did. You know, you got to work with what you got.
Why didn't you use this knife right here?
I didn't find it immediately.
Because it broke.
Yeah, because it's broken, Rob. Of course.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's been broken for years.
Okay.
But the Steam controller, my initial review is, I hate it.
Oh,
it's
boy.
The worst thing I've ever held.
No
okay.
way.
But it is customizable, so come back to me in about a month after I've figured things out, and maybe I'll have a more positive review.
What's the retail price on it?
I think it's somewhere around 60. I don't remember. I got it in a bundle with Dark Souls.
So I have to ask, is it because you're used to the PlayStation controller? Is that what's causing the issue?
You know, it's definitely because I'm used to the PlayStation controller, but even if I went over to the Xbox controller, I'd be able to handle that fairly well, too. Hmm. This controller is nothing like either of those. It's got one joystick and two touch pads, one of which is a D-pad, and the other one is just supposed to be a joystick, but isn't. And everything is positioned in a very awkward way. Like, my thumbs don't hit the right buttons naturally. I have to actually look down at the controller, make sure I'm positioned the right way, which may just be the learning curve about this. Maybe I just have to get used to the thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be too harsh about it, but my initial reaction, it's actually spoiling Dark Souls for me. I was really excited to get the controller so that I could play Dark Souls. I started playing on the keyboard a bit and realized that my keyboard functionality, actually, it limits me a little bit. I don't know why. Maybe it's just a glitch, but there were certain things that I couldn't do. Like, I couldn't kick things, or there were just, I couldn't jump. There were a lot of things I couldn't do with the keyboard, even though I set the key bindings properly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I'll just wait until I get the controller. And then I got the controller, and I hated it even more.
Damn.
So I'm not able to play Dark Souls as much as I wanted to, because I'm just hindered by my keyboard and my controller. Okay. I can't believe it. But I'll get used to it. So that's enough about that.
Well, speaking of Dark Souls, that is one of the games that did launch during our absence. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that so far? I haven't personally gotten the game yet. Rob, have you?
I mean, if it's like a Bloodborne thing, I won't be getting it.
So okay.
It's a lot like Bloodborne. I think Dark Souls is a bit more challenging, though, because there's no opportunity to regain health. Like, if an enemy hits you in Bloodborne, if you attack it quick enough, you can regain the health that you lost. But in Dark Souls, you cannot do that. If you get hit, you're losing that health, and you have to get it back by, I forget what the thing is called.
Okay.
But you only get three, well, actually, that's not even accurate either. In the beginning, you get three heals, and when you use all those up, you just have to pray not to die. You're going to die. That's the point of Dark Souls. I can't believe I forgot the name of that little vial thing that you drink out of.
Like a blood vial? Or
I mean, that's essentially, it is in Bloodborne. Yeah, in Bloodborne it's that, but in Dark Souls it has another name. I'm sorry, fans, if you're a fan of Dark Souls. This is my first entry into the series, so I'm not totally acquainted with all of the terms.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's a challenge, and it's fun because of that. If you didn't like Bloodborne, don't play Dark Souls.
I'm actually going through Bloodborne myself right now. I'm very slow in progress for Bloodborne. I just beat Father Gascon, so that's literally the first boss in the game. But I'm enjoying it. I'm actually kind of resolving to try to play the game co-op as much as possible. For that, you have to ring a bunch of bells and set up passwords and et cetera, et cetera. So they make it a bit of a hassle to actually play it cooperatively. But I'm going to try my best to actually proceed through the game moving forward, because it's just, you know, I think it's more fun when you're playing games with friends in that instance.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm supposed to play Dark Souls with Mike later tonight. If we do get around to that, I'll do some streaming.
Nice.
But yeah, definitely pleased about the multiplayer aspect of Dark Souls as well.
I just want to cap off this Dark Souls Bloodborne conversation by pointing out that Nioh is available in an alpha demo right now until about May 3rd, I believe, or May 5th. And this is the Koei Tecmo game, which is basically Dark Souls, but with a splash of Onimusha, where you're playing a character who looks very much like Geralt of Rivia, and you're going around Japan and fighting demons and villagers, and basically it's Dark Souls. You're playing ghosts of other players after they die. It's very focused on understanding the weapon and attacking properly. You don't regain health, and you got to use your very limited potions and all that stuff. So I would recommend it. It's free currently until, again, May 5th, and then it will not work anymore, that particular alpha demo. But I'm enjoying it so far.
That's cool. I mean, the whole the environment and all the art, it looks really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely try that game.
Looks scary. So I'm easily scared.
In that same kind of, I guess, Dark Souls, Bloodborne way, you know, like there probably are going to be those jump moments, but it's more just focused on being incredibly difficult. The strange difference with Nioh is that you can change the stance of the weapon that you're wielding and also combo with it. So whereas Bloodborne is very simple in its combat so that you can quickly understand what options are available to you and then move forward with mastering them, Nioh is the exact opposite of that, where there's so much complexity to the combat that it's a bit overwhelming to understand what you can and can't actually do with the weapons. Okay. So I'm starting to get a basic handle on the difference between high, mid, and low stance for the samurai sword. But beyond that, I haven't mastered the spear yet, and I haven't even found the other weapons yet. So
that reminds me of a Bushido Blade. I remember on PlayStation 1. Where you could, you know, you're pretty much like in a samurai movie, and each fight is just like one or two hits, and you have to change from either high stance, medium stance, or low stance. So that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's you can even, you know, dramatically sheathe the katana away after you're done. And, like, I unlocked the very classic, you know, you charge up the sword while it's in the katana, and then, ooh, a quick strike, you know, off of that, so... and then there's a whole supernatural element that's introduced to this particular game as well. So that's where kind of the Onimusha aspect of that comes into play.
Gotcha. According to Rurouni Kenshin lore, that's called the Bato stance, when you put the sword in the sheath.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Trivia. So I've been playing The Division, and when I've been when I say I've been playing it, mildly I've been playing it, which is probably a good thing, because the people I've been playing Rainbow Six with, they played Division, and then they level 30'd, like, you know, after a couple days. So that's when you really can, like, get the meat of the gameplay. And then before the first update, the meat of the gameplay was just the Dark Zone. And basically, it's just like a madhouse now. Like,
the Dark Zone is a madhouse?
If you get to level 30... And you're in the Dark Zone, it's just like even more crowded than actual Manhattan.
Whoa.
Which is dumb.
Like crowded with players?
Crowded with players. So if you get to level 29 or level 25 to 29, you're in a different instance from those level 30 people. So when you're in the Dark Zone, there's like no one there. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. Me and my bro are just like chilling out in like a very like I Am Legend type Dark Zone. Just getting
I mean, that's awesome. That's how it should be.
But then the update came out for incursions, and then people glitched that so much, people are getting in trouble. People glitched the bosses to get the best loot, and they're like, they're crafting their weapon to be like the most highest multiplier they can be, and it's just not making it fun for the people who are actually trying to play it. Unlike me, I'm like very casual about it. I'm like, oh, I'll play it whenever I want to.
Right.
But if I'm not playing that, I'm playing Street Fighter V.
Oh, okay. How's that going?
Good, good. That's a game I just like to, you know, drop off and pick up whenever.
Have the server stabilized on that? Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's always just like a day one, day two thing.
Cool.
But yeah, I had no problems getting getting games. But they have a really cool match system, which I'm still trying to figure out. Because you have your PSN ID, and then you have your Street Fighter Battle ID. You can either play with people from your PSN or the other ID, which is really weird. Just stick with one. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And has anybody watched Batman versus Superman?
No. Not in this room, but I've had a full rundown from...
I know what to expect.
Yeah, from various people. Yeah. And
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we should say anything unless we were forced to watch it, but I have it on a medium that's not legal.
Likewise. But we don't talk about that. We don't condone piracy here.
Exactly. And I couldn't get past the first 5 minutes. I literally fell asleep.
Oh, God.
I was, I've seen Bruce Wayne's parents die again. I mean, I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
Like, all these origin stories, like...
Yeah.
Like,
in the first 5 minutes, come on. Like, that's just the most absolute pandering moment in all of Batman to just throw out there lackadaisically and be like, oh, yeah.
Well, it's not really fair of us to review a movie we haven't seen.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So let's just move on from that and perhaps never come back to it.
Yeah, we did tell you also. So off of that, I have been playing The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
What do you think of it?
I love it. I will never finish this game. It's a game though that you're like, I'm fine with that. I enjoy the time that I play with it. It's robust. It's the world is so populated. And that's something where most open world games that I've played lately they were open world, but they didn't have anything in them. Case in point, Phantom Pain. You know, where you're walking around and there's nothing in there. And you're like, okay, really cool to have this open world setting, but I'm not running into anything. The Witcher 3 is a living, vibrant world. It's very reactive to the choices that you want to make. Yet, unlike Neo, where there's a really complex combat system, it's pretty much straightforward. It's, you know, this is what you do to fight these monsters. This is what you do to fight normal people. And what I'm really liking about it is there's no right choice. There's no Mass Effect Paragon option that you're pressured to pick.
Okay.
It's whatever you want to do, and there's no judgment on what you do. And sometimes doing the quote-unquote right thing might spawn a bad consequence. Sometimes if you don't rough some people up, then other people are going to die. So it takes that kind of gray moral stance and lets you choose. And I really appreciate that.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I love it being third person. You know, so if you enjoy, you know, open world, Skyrim, all that, you'll love Witcher 3. It's definitely worth it. It's so massive that I know I will never even get close to beating it, but I'm enjoying my time with it.
I'll probably pick it up during a Steam sale or something.
Totally. And the Blood and Wine DLC is coming out very shortly.
Oh, that's going to
add an additional 30 hours to the game. So it's a massive undertaking, but I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome.
And then I'm also playing Bastion right now. That's been out for quite some time, and it was part of a PlayStation Plus deal.
Is it the same people who did Crimson Star?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh. And they have a new game coming out. That's one I didn't write down. But
all is lost.
Yep. I definitely love all of their work. I'm really enjoying Bastion thus far. So
what's it about?
So you're playing this kid in basically kind of this strange post-apocalyptic world, and everything you do is narrated. So there is someone who is narrating every action that you perform, and it's a really cool system.
So this is a PAG? Post-apocalyptic game?
Help. I don't remember the acronyms.
Still a thing.
I'm done. I'm leaving Thumbstick Ninjas.
Oh my god.
Yes, it is a PAG.
Post-apocalyptic game.
But no, it's really cool. They always marry their games so well to the music that they choose. Mm. And it's actually kind of cool to have someone narrate everything you do in a video game. It's not really... You would think maybe that gets annoying, but it's actually comforting because the characters in and of themselves don't really speak. Mm. But he provides kind of this interesting take on all the actions that you perform.
Cool.
So I'm really enjoying that. Also playing a lot of Destiny, a game which I've shat on for a very long time. And
should I come back
through,
to it?
I am really enjoying it. I think they learned their lesson over time and started realizing that it needed to go less from a cold sci-fi and more to a warm kind of fantasy sci-fi.
Mm.
Less so Star Trek, more so Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
When it started, it was very technical. It was very cold. All the menus were very sleek and cutting edge, but you had no relation to anything that was going on. And then they got rid of Dinklebot, and they realized that you actually need a defined antagonist that you're fighting against in the form of the Taken King. They started realizing that you actually do want, you know, characters to talk to you while you're playing a game, that you actually do want cutscenes in the game, that you would actually like some sort of stake in the world, and they started adding all these elements to it.
Cool.
So I am really enjoying it. I also am playing with another gamer, and that has made all the difference in the world. I don't think it would work as well playing single player.
That was my downfall.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't find anybody my level to play.
Okay.
Everybody's gone up, so now I don't know what level you're at, but Maybe I can tag.
Yeah, I'm like, what am I, like 24 or something? I don't know. I haven't actually played in a few days.
Do they still have the levels? And then like once you cap at 30, there's like light levels?
There are light levels. They actually recently expanded both the level cap and the light level cap.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I really like the multiplayer. And I just wish the single player is more expensive.
Hmm. Yeah, they started to understand their mistakes. And there's been many interesting articles that I've read as far as what happened during the production of that game. Basically, a year out from release, they overhauled the entire game and basically cut out the original writer of the story. And they parted on not so good terms, and it originally that AI Rasputin that was supposed to be the main antagonist for the game, and Bungie didn't feel that that was good enough, and they cut everything up, and they had already missed release dates, so they were like, nope, this is a hard release date, we're making it, and lots of mistakes were made. And moving forward, they've started correcting some of those mistakes. It makes me hopeful for Destiny 2, to be perfectly honest. I think that Destiny 2, if they continue learning from what they're doing and focus the game more, it'll be closer to what they wanted the original Destiny to be.
All right.
Well, that's a game that I will probably never play. So that's all you guys. Yeah. I bowed out after I tried the... Was it an open alpha?
Yeah.
I decided it wasn't a game for me.
Yeah, so. And it's definitely not for everyone. And it's definitely a game that you need to play with other people. Otherwise, you're just not going to get the experience.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. Mm-hmm. What other games have you guys been playing? I personally haven't been playing very much in the way of games. I've been trying Dark Souls. We talked about that. Haven't played Elite Dangerous in a little while. Kind of want to get back into that.
You posted some videos before, right?
Yeah. I was having a lot of fun with that. I was sort of binging it. But lately, I've just been so busy, I haven't had time. I'll get back into that.
We're sorry, listeners. Always more content.
Yeah, we're working on it. Don't worry. All right. But anyway, what else have you guys been doing?
I mean, do we want
to move on to movies?
I've been excited for Rogue One.
Okay.
A Star Wars story.
I'm very excited for that too. I'm so hyped.
I could just live in trailer land. You know, I don't care if the movie is not going to be as good as the trailer, but just give me that trailer, give me that tease. It's so good to be in that. I don't know, to be in that industry, to make awesome epic music.
Yeah,
and just like pick the scenes from what you're given from the company or the director. And just making a minute and a half epic. It told a story to me.
It's so fun.
And it makes you ask questions on who the heck this girl is and what she's trying to do. Why is she wearing an Imperial uniform at the end? And why is Forrest Whitaker, why is his eye like that? Everybody wonders. He's a great actor.
And what about Donnie Yen?
Donnie Yen's blind.
Donnie Yen.
Yep.
Will that be a synonymous thing with Kanan from Rebels?
I don't know. I wonder.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't expect to be as excited as I am for Rogue One.
Oh my god!
But it just looks so good. I'm so excited for it. I'm ready.
Yeah, I've been in the grapevine with that for a while.
Are you spoiling?
No.
Are you spoiling?
No. But you hear you hear that the movie's going to be darker. It's going to be more intense, and you hear this kind of. Talk for years, and then you finally get to see it, the result of it, and that it definitely exceeded my expectations for the film. Yeah, I love the casting choices. It's the most diverse Star Wars cast I've ever seen, and I think that bodes very well for the film.
They use actual Asians. They're not whitewashing the Asians.
Yep,
this is true.
So let me ask you a question for both of you. If it does really, really well, you know, and most likely this will be a one-shot.
It is,
If it does really well, will there be a Rogue 2?
No.
I'm pretty sure this will kill everybody in Rogue One.
Rogue 1 is the name of the squadron, or like someone's code name or something,
it's
right?
It's probably Felicity Jones'
Jyn Erso.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. My guesstimate is that it will literally end with them handing off the plans to Princess Leia aboard the Tantive IV, and that they'll do a jump and the Star Destroyer will follow them. And that pretty much, most likely, I'm just guessing every member of them will die or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But like, oh man, imagine if this does better than Episode 7, which I can see it happening.
Well, I think critically it will be adored more than Episode 7. Yeah. Many of the reasons that people were frustrated by The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Where this one is not necessarily for the whole family, and you can immediately tell that by the trailer. They were clearly aiming for an older audience.
Yeah.
And you can just tell that there's this darker, more foreboding, seedier side of the galaxy, and there's just so much packed within that particular trailer. Even the fact that the stormtroopers are kind of, some of them are in the more traditional stormtroopers that we know. Some of them are still clone trooper armor. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the black armor stormtroopers, and they're really kind of having fun with that. You have that mysterious man in white, who is apparently some very high ranking Imperial.
Most likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Emperor most likely is in there.
Yeah, we saw some Imperial guards. And who was walking to that Bacta tank?
Well, that's got to be the Emperor who's walking to the tank, but I don't think it's not a Bacta tank.
Or a cloning tank.
I think it's a cool theory. I know a lot of people are kind of pushing that there's some sort of connection to Snoke there, but I think he's just on the Death Star looking at the power source for the Death Star. I think he's doing his inspection there. But yeah, I'm really, really excited for that, and actually made a another one of my mashup trailers.
That was combined, awesome, by the way.
Overwatch, yeah.
I combined Overwatch with the Rogue One trailer, so feel free to check that out. Very I posted cool. it on the Thumbstick Ninjas Facebook.
It combined very well.
On the YouTubes as well.
Yes.
We have to utilize our YouTubes.
Yep.
You never know when the dice breakers and the Thumbstick Ninjas will collide, and
we're always colliding.
We are,
Rob. It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
And that particular Rogue One, where is that release date? We're looking at
December 18th.
December 16th.
Oh, I mean, 2 days late. Man. And it's cool that they have Mon Mothma. They're using the same actress from the deleted scenes of Revenge of the Sith, where you had to go to the deleted DVD scenes and see Mon Mothma fucking complain about the whatever Palpatine's doing. I don't understand this guy. And like, oh, they've been great to see in Episode 3, but they totally botched everything. But it's good to see her. She embodies the original actress, who's still alive, by the way.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that was so spot on that you were just immediately taken aback when you saw her. You were like, wait, what? Like, is that Mon Mothma? And then you're like, my brain can't handle this right now. It's matched so well.
They have the same grid, too. Like, the map right behind them.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, they're definitely on Yavin, the moon of Yavin.
Masasi Temple. Yeah. How do I know this? Star Wars galaxies, people.
You know, there are other movies coming out besides ones in the Star Wars universe that we could discuss.
Okay.
For example, X-Men Apocalypse.
You're right.
Boom. That happens to star Oscar Isaac, who is in Star Wars.
Oh, give me
a minute. Let's
just talk about Star Wars then, if that's what we're doing.
But no, I'm super, super excited for Apocalypse.
It looks so good.
Now, are you super excited for Apocalypse or Civil War more?
That's
a tough call.
I know.
I'm innately more of an X-Men fan.
Me too.
So I'm going to go with Apocalypse. I think Civil War will be the better film.
Exactly.
Me too. So that's where my excitement levels lie. Right. X-Men has always been my Marvel jam. I have adored Wolverine and Magneto since I was a kid. And so in that regards, it always has a special place in my heart. Yeah. And that's where Wolverine cameo confirmed. Oh, my God.
It's just three adamantium claws. You don't know if it's Wolverine at the end of that trailer.
It's going to be Wolverine
confirmed.
Well, the gripe I had with the old franchise and the new franchise, they always focused on the one star for the first franchise. It was Hugh Jackman for Wolverine. It was Wolverine. Yeah, I get it. He's
great in that role.
He's one of the most popular X-Men. Mm-hmm. But then the new class, it's all Jennifer Lawrence, Mystique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that they're pushing that so much.
They're pushing that, like, on the poster, she's not blue, she's blonde and white. And she does her own Katniss speech towards the young X-Men. I mean,
oh, yeah.
So you think maybe they're setting up for her to die?
I initially thought so, yes, but mm-hmm. then she mentioned that she's interested in doing more, even though she said last year she was done with it.
Well, they that's all marketing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's all, you know.
I just want to see her in like more of a villain role, because that's what Mystique is for me.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's confusing me about like the exactly. current X-Men stuff.
I mean, it's its own universe.
And, yeah.
It's very interesting to see Magneto as a four horseman. I believe that was part of
comic book
canon, right?
Oh.
I believe he was a horseman at one point.
I mean, anybody can be a horseman if you're just, you know, possessed by him. But from what I remember, it was Archangel, Pestilence, War, and Famine from the cartoon and the comic book. Mm-hmm. But then it can change. Like, Storm, Psylocke were definitely horsemen.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Psylocke?
Love it. I like Olivia Munn, probably because she's, you know, one of us, geeky, mm-hmm. G4.
She's fantastic, yeah.
She's great.
And yep.
She's cute, and she's, you know, somewhat Asian,
mm-hmm.
which is what Psylocke is. She's a British girl. She should have a British accent. If they... I'm sure they won't have her do that, but
who knows?
Yeah. Archangel looks pretty cool, and then I always like Nightcrawler.
Oh, his movies. Design is so
Oh man, I'm so excited for Nightcrawler. He was one of my probably second favorite X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
First
is
Wolverine, of course.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
Nightcrawler is just so cool, though.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
You gotta love him.
Even did you see Havok in the trailer?
Havok, yes.
Yep.
He was not in most of the scenes. I feel like he may die, and I wonder if they're going to do the whole sibling canceling out of the mutant powers. So if they do introduce Scott Summers as Alex Summers' brother,
mm-hmm.
what happens if they fight? Nothing happens. That would be pretty cool, because they have to add that in canon.
Okay.
And I like how Quicksilver admitted to Mystique, like, yeah, he's my dad. And Mystique's like, what? You know, they did.
That was pretty funny.
And they're definitely setting up maybe another Dark Phoenix storyline for Jean Grey. That seems to, you know, I think they're kind of, they're planting the seeds for that moving forward.
They have to, because I think they weren't really set to do any more movies after this, but I guess Days of Futures Past did so well, and they're banking on coattails of Deadpool now, and Gambit maybe whenever it comes out, and mm-hmm. the new Wolverine, so why stop here?
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's transition right to Civil War then.
Oh,
on the companion piece.
I think I'm going to go Midnight.
Opening night.
Okay. Yeah, because again, I wish I lived in a trailer world.
Yeah.
Those three trailers are amazing. Yeah. Two trailers, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Especially someone released a Marvel Supercut. It was like 7 minutes long with the full track of that first Civil War song.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the events that lead to this, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
You should really brush up on your Civil War lore for Marvel, the first Civil War,
mm-hmm.
On how it was mainly Cap's plight to, you know, liberate all the metahumans. You know,
mm-hmm.
like we don't want to be in that type of system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that they have Spider-Man here. I'm glad they fit him in.
Yeah, I'm loving all the footage of Spidey, personally. I think they managed to bring him back to his playful roots that were kind of missing in the recent reboots of the series. Yeah. So yeah, I have to watch Winter Soldier. I know I have to watch that before I head in.
It's good.
It's Russo Brothers.
It's very good.
You know,
it's very good.
But yeah, this is the first Marvel movie in a very long time that I'm really excited to actually go and see in the theaters, because it's the payoff. We've been waiting for so long for this film to finally come out, and now we finally get to start this, you know, epic childhood fantasy of seeing all the heroes on screen all at one time.
I wasn't excited for Avengers 2 when it came out last year, because I knew this was coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is only part one of two. As far as Civil War goes,
you're thinking Infinity Wars.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Infinity
Gauntlet. Technically speaking, this is Captain America's film.
Yeah,
it's his standalone film, even though the Civil War starts here, and then Infinity Wars will start next year. I think.
No,
I thought they were both
2018.
I'm glad they're not
2018. Yeah. I think so.
And it's being reviewed, and it's getting great feedback, so that makes me very, very excited. Whereas, you know,
have you been spoiling yourself, Smith?
I mean, I always
have. You really
do it?
Do you really?
Do you know who you're talking to?
Don't
you really
do it.
Spoil Civil War?
I mean, I don't know all of the things, but I know things. Oh my God. There's never going to be something that comes out that okay. I don't know here, something.
I understand. And when Episode 7 of Star Wars came out, I remember when they started filming, I would read things.
Yep.
And that's what's happening now for Episode 8. Like, you're seeing, like, Prince Harry and William are hovering over, like, an A-Wing. They might be in a movie.
Yep.
So I'm like, that's cool. And then they'll tell you about, they'll be like story.
That's not really a spoiler, though.
Yeah.
But like other things, like they're in this setting here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. If there's something to be known about Episode 8, I've known it for 3 hours.
Like the month before, month of watching.
No. As soon as that story leaks online, I will find it. Gosh. I have my resources.
Okay. I can't handle this.
But what else do we have? Okay. I mean, how did we not
talk? Are we going to stay in the Marvel Universe right now?
There's one more.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah.
Doctor Strange and his whitewashed Asian Tilda Swinton.
I guess we'll also tackle the series of films which have had rather dubious casting choices, but overall, I actually did like the trailer Doctor Strange. It took me a while to get over Benedict Cumberbatch's lack of British accent. That was a bit weird. You're just like, oh my God, why did they even cast you then?
But like a silly person.
Yeah, he looks fantastic in the costume at the end and just looks trippy. Like no other Marvel movie. Yeah. You know, it's Marvel meets Inception and it's just very out there.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I don't know anything about the characters for Strange, but, you know, once I found out about Tilda Swinton's issue, I'm like, oh, man. I just don't understand why casting does this. I mean, I do. It's just for, you know, money. They think that...
Yeah, they want the names. They want the name attachment. They don't care so much about the race.
But they have to look at, you know, movies that done the whitewashing before, like Avatar, like this Aloha movie with Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just flops because you can't be that authentic with a different race. It's hard. I mean, you should really stick to it. Like, was Mandarin actually Mandarin in Iron Man?
Oh, the Mandarin?
The Mandarin.
They more did a strange interpretation Mandarin because technically who they marketed was the Mandarin, was actually the Mandarin.
Right,
spoilers if you haven't seen
Iron Man 3
whatever.
Is dumb anyway. okay. But yeah, that's a big thing. I don't want to get into it. It should be changed. Like there are
You don't want to get into it because we could talk about this in terms of Ghost in the Shell as well if you like.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I mean, I'll get into it just so happens that it, you know, there was back-to-back instances of whitewashing that occurred in both Doctor Strange, particularly with Tilda Swinton's characters, where a lot of the backlash is coming from, and from Ghost in the Shell, and just the holes that the producers dug themselves in. There were reports that came out that the producers were looking at ways to CGI the cast of Ghost in the Shell to make them look Asian.
Oh,
and
my God, why?
They were like, well, we decided not to go over that. But
if
you're like,
actually
well,
talking about that, then why not, Ken?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where,
have you seen Hugo Weaving as Asian in Cloud Atlas?
I have seen those. Yeah,
that is pretty funny. But it just doesn't work. To be contrarian, the creator of Ghost in the Shell came out and actually said that he didn't mind.
There was a video that was released that asked the Japanese public how they feel about it, and they were pretty much 50-50, or even like they didn't really care.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, anime is a fictional land. Like, a lot of people want to be different apart from Japanese culture. It's because they're fantasized with people outside their own race. They want to be like them. You know?
Right, yeah. I think they were also excited just to see one of their own creations becoming a mainstream thing in America, which
I think there are several things that kind of stick out with how they decided to defend their casting choice. You know, you're releasing to a Western audience. So, yes, there's going to be instances where they're going to take more recognizable faces and put them into the movies. I'm not using that as an excuse. If you were to release a movie overseas, that was based on a English story, you're mm-hmm. most likely going to go ahead and utilize the actors at your disposal to make that happen.
Yep.
It's more that this these strange defenses come out, like we're trying to make the cast CGI Asian, or you know, the fact that like we're going to keep the character's original name, or you know, everyone around the main character will be Asian, and you're like, well, these are the instances then where it's like, okay, like, if you're gonna go with it, go with it. Like, but then don't throw like token characters out there. And that's really where the complete underrepresentation of Asian characters by established Asian actors is really what's being highlighted here.
Yeah.
That I know there was a lot of controversy this year with the Oscars as far as no black actors or actresses being nominated, but there's no representation of quality Asian acting within major AAA movies that come out in the United States. Like, that's, it just doesn't happen. And yet, I think there's a bigger push, particularly with our generation, to want to see more diversity in films. And that we, a lot of us grew up watching Asian cinema. You know, my favorite film is Red Cliff. Like, I want to, you know, see more of those elements come into the movies. You know, I don't understand really why you couldn't have gotten an A-list Asian actor to fill the role that Tilda Swinton is playing in, you know, Doctor Strange. Like, and, you know, I think Marco a lot Polo. Of them...
They have a million Asian actors, American actors.
Yeah.
They're speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good. They're good at acting. And
yeah.
They're making two seasons of Marco Polo already.
Benedict Wong owns that fucking role. I love his performance and of Kublai Khan.
Into the Badlands, they could use that guy for something.
Yeah, this
is also a casting director issue. A lot of the casting directors walk in different circles. So,
yeah.
Not to get too into the industry, but you know, that's a thing.
Couple points for and against this whole thing. To defend it, which I'm not, Major Kusanagi is an android or some type of artificial being. So. Right. Doesn't have to be Japanese. You can look at it that way. They could just design it however she wants. I'm not sure of the original origin story, but I'm pretty sure she's a robot.
Okay.
I don't think there was an original template or original person it was based on. I don't know. I have to go back in my memory. But
well, I may be misunderstanding this, but I believe that there was initially a person that then,
right.
you know,
but now
became a robot.
Now it's a robot.
Yeah.
You can make her look however you want. That's the only defense I can see. And another thing to defend the anti-whitewashing is look at Dragon Ball, the movie Evolution.
No, don't look at Dragon
Ball. Don't look at it.
Don't Google it. Do not do it. Just
it was terrible.
What movie? There's no movie.
Exactly.
There's no movie.
So you're not fooling anybody, Hollywood producers.
Speaking of movies,
I don't want to get into it anymore. Sorry.
Okay, we're done.
But speaking of incredibly awesome films that are coming out, how about this Dynasty Warriors film that's being made in China? What?
You said awesome movies, though?
Oh. Get out of here.
All right, well, we can talk for the next 20 minutes about Dynasty Warriors as much as Matt might want to. Or we can just transition immediately into Fantastic Beasts and where to find them.
Matt's got to speak. We'll give you
one. Okay. Okay. Matt gets some time. Go for it.
Dynasty Warriors film. Oh my God. I can't wait. It's going to be directed by Roy Hin Young Chow of Nightfall fame and Rise of the Legend. And it will be released in China in 2018. No international release date yet. Make it happen. Basically, if anyone makes this a platform moving forward in their political agenda, they have my vote. Because that's how much this film needs to come over to me so I can see it. Oh my God, I can't wait. Red Cliff is more of the historical take on the battle that occurred in that particular location during the Romance of the Three Kingdoms period. Mm-hmm. Or at least the historical fiction take on that particular battle. But this is actually going to be the film based on the game, based on the historical fiction, based on the history of what happened in China. And I cannot wait. That is so cool.
Several generations removed from the actual history, but fun all the same.
And it'll be my only thought on this, because I could gush over this for 72 more hours, but is more what storyline are they going to take? I mean, Dynasty Warriors goes hardcore Liu Bei as far as pushing his the Qing Dynasty of Shu and, you know, the restoration of the Han and making Cao Cao and Wei the enemy and looking at the events that occur with Sun Quan and Wu being more of a betrayal than anything else. But I'm more interested to see, like, where does it start? How much of the story are we actually going to cover? Because do you go all the way to the Yellow Turban or Yellow Scarves Rebellion? Mm. Or where do you start with Deng Zhuo and, you know, Hulao Gate and all of that? Where do you come into the story? And then how far do they want to take it? Do they go all the way through Jin and you have, like, Sima Zhao and all that? Or where, you know... How far within the story do you actually go?
Well, I'm sure it will be a film of pure benevolence.
Oh, such benevolence. It will be a decent challenge indeed. And I'll leave my excitement there.
Well, let me redirect your excitement, yes. as I was trying to do earlier, mm-hmm. back to the world of Harry Potter.
Oh,
yes.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them comes out in November 2016.
Looks amazing.
And what a delightful trailer. Like, yeah. It was so fun to kind of recapture that spirit that was watching a Harry Potter film and like a Harry Potter trailer. It has a very unique feel. You just knew instantly watching it. You're like, it's a slower reveal. It's much more on the fantasy side of things. It's magical. Like it you know, that's such a blanket term, but it is. It has this whimsical vibe. What great casting. Like, really excited to see that film.
Yeah.
And
I love that it's a period piece as well.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It pairs really well. And we get to go to America, and that's cool. We haven't seen Wizards in America yet.
Mm-hmm.
So is that all we're going to say about that film?
I mean, that's fine. There's nothing we can't... There's no books about it, right? It's just...
Well, that was a book, wasn't it?
A book in the Harry Potter universe.
Yes, and then she kind of released a small...
Right.
book of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
I have no idea what it's about.
Right. Yeah. This is more the kind of the story of Newt Scamander and his adventures with finding those particular beasts. And then, of course, several of them get out. And with Pottermore, she did release kind of the history of America as far as magic goes. So there's a whole bunch of background story as far as where the political climate is for wizards in America. And it's very different from the wizarding institutions that are in Britain. So it's going to be a very, very different take on magic. You see that they're at like the ministry essentially over there. That system of government is very, very different in how nomads, which are muggles in America, react to wizards is very different. In America, nomads are much more suspicious and much more perceiving of magic around them than their muggle counterparts.
Nomads. How about Suicide Squad?
Great trailers for probably not a great movie is where I stand on that.
I don't even think the trailers are that great.
I'm enjoying them.
Yeah. I like them.
But, all right. What are your misgivings overall for? Because I know you've kind of been anti-Suicide Squad.
I have discussed this. I think actually in our last podcast when we talked about the Justice League, I basically shared all of my opinions on why I don't like it, and they all basically come down to the treatment of the characters.
Okay.
I guess also to deviate from that a bit because I could talk about Harley Quinn at length again. But I also don't really like the art style that they're going with. And sure, maybe that is actually kind of true to the comics, but it doesn't really appeal to me all that much.
Okay.
I like the more verisimilitude of Chris Nolan films. And for those of you who don't know, verisimilitude is, if you break it down, very similar to reality. So I like that stuff, and I'm not really seeing all that much of that in Suicide Squad.
I think it's going to be fun.
I must say, I'm not so impressed with Jared Leto's performance as the Joker. And time will tell, but I was excited in the very first trailer that, you know, came out with Heath Ledger's performance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the best Joker all in all is Mark Hamill, realistically.
Well, no one's going to argue that.
Maybe some people will, but I won't. I feel like he put his heart and soul into it. But he just, don't know. I don't feel like he's really adding anything new to the character, realistically. Like, okay, he went the crazy route.
I think he's taking away from the character because he went the crazy route.
Yeah, like, what's he there for? Is he the main villain, or is he part of the Suicide Squad? I don't know what
I don't think so. I think he is literally only there to provide background on Harley Quinn, or, you know, that be that agent of chaos. But he just, I don't know. I just... The design has been always weird with him, and the tattoos and the grill, and
I'm not excited for this movie.
Yeah.
In the same way that I was not excited for Batman versus Superman.
I can understand that, yeah.
That's where I'm coming from.
Hopefully the reshoots are worth the millions of dollars.
Yeah. I'll watch it.
I am, however, excited for the new Jason Bourne movie.
Jason Bourne.
I know a lot of people are divided on the Jason Bourne series.
Looks good.
I very much liked the first three. The original, of course, being the better of the three. This one, I think we're going to see a return to form, return to the same style as the first film.
Did you watch the Jeremy Renner one?
Yes, I did not like that one bit.
Oh, wow, okay.
I actually, in a trip to Hollywood, I stopped off and saw that one, and it was the worst part of my whole trip.
Oh.
It was just such a disappointing film.
They went to the Philippines, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool and all, but maybe they could do that in a better movie.
Yeah, okay.
It definitely captured the spirit of the originals. You know, the pacing, the dialogue, who am I?
Yeah.
Like, the Matt Damon, all of it. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to see it when it comes out, which will be in July, I believe.
Correct.
Right?
July 29th.
Cool. I'm ready to see that. There are a lot of films coming out that I'm very excited for.
Have you seen the trailer yet for Magnificent Seven for that reboot?
No.
That one I missed. I didn't see that one.
Oh, God, it looks so good.
We should pause this and then watch it and give our reactions.
Oh, God. It's just like you got Denzel.
Really?
And you got Chris Pratt playing Chris Pratt. And it's perfect, though, Chris Pratt needs to always just play Chris Pratt. You know, he's one of those actors that you're just like, that's why he's in this movie. And that's great. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh.
Oh, okay. My God. Like, oh. And, you know, it just, oh, God, it looks so good. Who's the
Sounds
villain?
Like a comedy so far.
Well, it's it's from the director of Training Day. And it is a lighter, no. It's like Antoine,
I don't remember. Just call him Antoine.
But
Antoine's directing this one.
Typically, he does do darker films, but this one definitely has a lighter take on it. But I'm a sucker for westerns, and the powerhouse cast behind this is intense, and it looks like it'll be that perfect blend of what the Magnificent Seven really is. And the Magnificent Seven is based off of originally The Seven Samurai.
Right.
Which is an excellent, excellent film. If you haven't seen it, consider yourself a Star Wars fan, see it. See it. Absolutely see it.
Yeah,
George Lucas was a huge Akira Kurosawa fan.
Yeah.
And what was New Hope based on?
Magnificent Seven.
And
also Ron and all that. Yeah. And but it, you know, basically you have a town, it's being attacked. They enlist the help of, you know, these seven strangers, these seven ragtags to defend their town. And that same storyline is applied in, you know, a village in
the West, Wild West.
Yep. And in both settings. So that's where it's really fun. And The Seven Samurai is very emotional too, because not all of them make it. And it's interesting to see who makes it through and what are they willing to sacrifice, and, you know, the good guys versus the bad guys. And they all have this unique personality and unique fighting style and all that.
The guy who plays Storm Shadows in this too, from G.I. Joe, Byung Hun Lee, I believe.
Yes. And so it's a cool, I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait till that comes out. And that is November 23rd that comes out.
Wow, all right. Yeah.
Cool.
Tomb Raider reboot. our gal Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley. I'm good with that. I think.
I love Daisy Ridley's calves. Just wanna. I watched that scene when she goes to see Luke. When she's climbing, I don't know, man. Like, she's got, like, these massive calves. I'm like, wow.
So you're into that? You're a calf guy?
I'm a calf guy.
Okay. All right. Now you know, Internet. Send us pics of your calves.
No, don't. Please don't do that. Don't do this. We don't really care about calves all that much. Just Daisy Ridley's calves.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can send us pictures of those.
There, she's getting buff episode 8 and John Boyega, too. They're working that out like crazy.
Good. Mm.
But yeah, the only knock that I've heard kind of against Daisy Ridley as Lara Croft is that that's pretty much what Rey is, but come on, give it to her. I want to see that, especially based off of the new Tomb Raider reboot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic reboot.
Video games?
I would love, absolutely. Would love
she'd
for
fit
her
in
to
perfectly.
That. Totally. And then wrapping up with that, James Cameron's Avatar. Every day there's a new one. We're currently going to be at 4 sequels. Tomorrow it'll be 10, the day after that, 352. And he's going to shoot them all at the same time, because James Cameron, and that's what he does.
That's insane.
So 4 movies shot at the same time. I don't even know what to think about that.
I don't know. I'm not into it.
You know, I was watching Aliens yesterday, because it was Aliens Day.
Okay.
And Sigourney Weaver did like an interview with us. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see that movie, how he took the mantle from Ridley Scott to make it a different genre, even though it's the same franchise, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. They used practical effects. And it's just sad to see him go into Avatar land and CGI this, CGI that, 3D camera this. Like, where are your roots? Where's your Terminator roots, you know? Give us that. Things have evolved.
Yeah, we're not going to get that.
But it's just more that Avatar was only a visual spectacle. So it was just Pocahontas. So you're telling me you can come up with
Pocahontas.
4 additional movies worth of content? Like, and it's been so long.
Like, maybe they'll go along the lines of Pocahontas. They'll do a Pocahontas 2 version where
They made a Lion King Avatar.
Yeah, they come to Earth and they just has to acclimate.
They just keep copying Disney films.
Yeah.
The Hercules Avatar, the Mulan Avatar. I like this. Okay, if they do that, I would be more excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's somehow still relevant. I mean, it set in motion tons of things. So for that, applause to the original Avatar. But again, like, is anyone still excited to go back to that world?
No, I forgot. I forgot who Sam Worthington is. What happened to him?
Yeah, and something about unobtainium, sort of mineral that apparently can be obtained.
Inconceivable.
I don't know. Okay. Not excited for that, but there are
TV.
Yeah, there are a couple of TV shows that are.
Well, we
did
all finish Daredevil, correct?
We did.
Yes, yes, we did.
Let us give our review.
Okay, for those of you who have not watched Daredevil, you may want to stop listening here. Tune back in maybe 10 minutes, because we'll probably give some spoilers here.
Or just, you know, go watch Daredevil.
Yeah, and then come back. Just real quick, turn us off, watch the whole thing, and then come back.
Yeah, it's like 13 episodes, you know, whatever.
No
just
problem.
Just keep us on pause.
So, yeah, my jaw dropped a lot for the second season, mainly because the introduction of Punisher and what they're able to show on Netflix TV. Mm. And I understand with the introduction of Elektra, and they brought back the was a Nubu, and then they introduced the Hand. A lot of things are happening, but then you have to look at it at the method of your watch, like how you watch it. If you watch it, like, as a syndicated TV show or like week by week, then I can kind of get excited. I think I would have felt the full excitement of that. But I binged it in like a week and a half.
Most people binge it.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You binge it. It's a 13-hour movie. And I just felt it was just a lot for that amount of watching. If I would watch that throughout the year, I think it'd been awesome. But this is what Netflix does to us.
Yeah, there was just too much. Elektra and the Hand, it was too much. Because the Punisher was so spot on and so good. Every scene that he's in,
I wanted to see more of the Punisher.
Oh, we will. Absolutely. We will get a spinoff.
Oh, I know, but I wanted to see more of him in Daredevil.
Oh, you're sure?
I wanted him to be like the primary focus of Daredevil. Like,
yeah.
And not even going in before I watched it, I wasn't like, oh man, the Punisher, I need to see him for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting them to do other things. But as I watched it, I was like, this is a really great Punisher, and I want him to be more involved. But they basically capped him off at episode 4.
And then that's kind of what they did last year. Well, they really introduced Kingpin at episode 4, I believe.
Yeah, but he was the focus of the entire series. That should have been the Punisher for this series.
It's tough because the Punisher isn't your antagonist. He's just he's another fallen protagonist. And to, if you were to see the Punisher in every episode, I think people kind of get like a little confused if we're watching Punisher or Daredevil.
Here's how you resolve that, though. They really get off the track of what happened to his family, why the Punisher is the way that he is. Mm-hmm. So you have Daredevil catch him like he does, and you have him lock him away for a little bit. But then you start being like, well, why is the Punisher doing what he's doing? You have Daredevil start investigating all this stuff, not the girl. Like, that storyline is so blasé and like, ugh. Like, no, have him investigate and have him start uncovering a bigger truth. While he's doing all this, you have expand the story between Fisk and the Punisher in prison. That was excellent. Yeah, I loved all that. But like, have that go over like 2 to 3 episodes. And then have him get out just as Daredevil was starting to kind of close in on someone. And then you have two competing forces for the, you know, the Punisher is heading to go get this person or this organization that did this thing to his family and put him through all these experiments.
Right.
Daredevil is trying to figure this out and, you know, being put in a strange position where he has to defend these bad people against a good person with bad intention.
We did have a little bit of that, to be fair.
Yeah.
And also, to be clear, I did really enjoy this second season of Daredevil. I think
we're
going to be complaining about the things we didn't like, but just to set the record straight, I did like it a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I wish I could watch more. I fall in love with these characters like I fall in love with Lost characters. You know, like Karen and Foggy, I care about these people, you know?
Yeah, in that same way that like I have tons of criticism against Force Awakens, but I still loved Force Awakens, that's kind of where my criticism from Daredevil comes from, a point of like, I really liked it, you know, Elektra just paled in comparison.
Weak character. I mean, seriously weak. And my issue with her is that if you look at her from a character standpoint, she is really disappointing. Her whole motivation is to please the men in her life. Talk about a feminist field day here. Like, this is not a very strong female character. Yeah, she's a badass. She can kill people. But if what's motivating her is that she needs to seek the affection of her adoptive father and then also seek the affection of Daredevil. And then when she can't get that, she dies.
Yep.
That's really just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good female character.
Or be worshipped by an army of male ninjas.
Yeah, like, well, that's whatever.
That's a very good point. That, like, and it may not immediately be apparent, but once you really start looking at the character, she just falls flat.
Yep.
And it was just too much to try to to have that happen all in one season, I feel.
Yeah.
But
a little bit
looking forward to, you know, to season 3, definitely.
Looking forward to Luke Cage.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, too.
And a good nod for Carrie Ann Moss to be there to tie in Jessica
Jones.
That
was cool.
Yeah, that
was cool.
No, also, they did mention Jessica Jones.
Someone mentioned her. Foggy's lawyer friend.
Yeah.
She mentioned Jessica Jones was like a client or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, in other TV news, Game of Thrones just came back.
Rebels first.
Oh, you want to do Rebels? All right, we can do Rebels. Let's do Rebels.
Game of Thrones. That finale. Oh, my God.
I don't have much to add here because I haven't watched it.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'll let you get... No, just go into it. I'm okay with being spoiled. I'm okay with it.
When Clone Wars and Rebels get things right, they exceed the prequels. Far beyond in quality.
It's not that hard to do.
But, like, that says something, though, where they establish new canon to the point where, like, man, I just wish we had gotten this. Now, it's bad for a string of episodes in both the Clone Wars and Rebels, where I have had my consistent complaints on Rebels for quite some time. It's basically Aladdin, and I hate that aspect of it. I hate pretty much 80% of the new characters. I hate Zeb. I hate Kanan. I hate Ezra. Sabine is fine, and Hera's okay. But like, it should have just been Mon Mothma and Leia and their adventures actually forming the rebellion. We don't need Jedi messed up and everything. But then they very smartly identified that they had all these unfinished storylines from the Clone Wars. Rex and Ahsoka. being the top two. And they finally bring them back, and they finally give us Ahsoka versus Vader, and it was everything that we could hope for.
Oh, yeah.
Literally every, like, it, I have listened to that end song that plays, yeah, like, almost every day since it's aired, and it's just, it's so emotionally captures everything that's great about Star Wars.
Did you like the insert of Maul in that whole storyline?
Loved it. Like, I love his return. He is a character that never should have been killed off in the Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. He had such potential. I love that they just, you know,
did you like how he bring just him turned back on them and,
yeah,
blinded Kanan?
Absolutely. And they got rid of all like the shitty Inquisitors. All of them needed to die, and I'm so happy they're all fucking dead. Stay dead, you're shitty Inquisitors. Oh, I hate God. You. So you're
much,
dead.
So much hate in this young
hatred.
One.
Hatred. But, and I love that they're pushing Ezra towards the dark side. I think that that's absolutely what needs to happen. And when they got Matt Lautner back as Anakin's voice, when the helmet got cut and he says Ahsoka,
yeah,
I literally got goosebumps, because you're just like, oh my God, like, this is what the prequels could have been.
Yep.
This emotional story of a guy who was this huge hero who lost everything and is just trapped within his own hatred, mm-hmm, and has nothing left but that anger to keep him going. The fact that Ahsoka stays behind because she doesn't want to abandon him, but that he's too broken to even accept that. She is still alive. You do see her walk, yeah, back into the temple at the end.
That's good.
Kanan is now blind. That's interesting. Ezra was able to open the holocron, mm-hmm, which was confirmed you could only do that if he used the dark side. So he... Mm-hmm. You know, was willing to do that. And then Darth Maul got away and will continue hunting both Vader and the other Ezra and Kanan. So there's rumors that the next season will be the last season.
That'd be good.
That they will wrap up storylines to set things up for essentially Force Awakens kind of lore, and kind of connect some dots that were missing from the original trilogy.
Uh-huh.
And then that they will make a new series, which will take place after Return of the Jedi, but before Force Awakens.
That sort of should have happened with this instead of Rebels. This should have, you know, filled the gap.
Well, I think I would love both of that, personally. Yeah. I would love for them to finish the storyline, make it epic, kill Ezra and Kanan and Zeb, and maybe you can keep Sabine, that's fine. Hera can live too. And then in Return of the Jedi, or after that, to kind of connect some of those storylines, which they can then do. They can really show you, like, Luke and Han and Leia, because they can animate them and, you know, get voice actors to do all the other,
yeah,
acting. you know, not that we don't appreciate Carrie Fisher being in the films, but maybe relegate her to less screen time moving forward.
Sure, sure, sure.
So yeah, that's Rebels.
All right. Game of Thrones. Steve,
okay.
Wake up from your slumber.
I'm back. I'm here, and I'm here to talk about Game of Thrones.
What did you think?
I'm very pleased with the way it opened up, with the way the new season started. It wasn't super action heavy. That wasn't expected. But it brought you right back into where you needed to be. I was a little disappointed that we didn't see Bran, but mm-hmm, yeah, we're going to get him not tomorrow, but next Sunday. God, yep, this just shows how excited I am for,
yep,
it. Also, the Red Priestess. Can we talk about that, guys?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Can we talk about that?
She's old. And naked.
Yeah, both of those things. And what do you think she's doing with that necklace? What do you think that whole ritual with the mirror was about?
We have no idea. We are ahead of the books.
Can we, yep, postulate here?
Jon Snow.
Maybe, yeah, that's, yep, the source of her power.
I'm Jon Snow.
Yep.
She going
not dead.
Transfer the youth or, yep, life force to Jon Snow? Or,
yeah, that's, yeah, what I'm hoping.
Steve was right. There was no way in the opening weekend, which was free for Time Warner Cable customers, that they were going to spoil Jon Snow right then and there. No. You keep that for episode 3 or 4.
I was even surprised to see that they even went back to his dead body,
mm-hmm,
that they even opened with that. But I guess you have to, like, your, yeah, fans are expecting some Jon Snow.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm good. I'm glad they did that. I was a little surprised, but pleased, yeah, ultimately. And yeah, they're not going to bring him back to life for another couple episodes, but they will. Don't worry. I'm secretly a little bit worried, because what if they just don't do that?
Oh, he'll. Mm. Oh, come on.
Yeah, no. Yes.
Come on.
That's why she's there.
It's John Snow.
That's why she's there.
It would be,
he is the hero of the story. Yeah. He is the hero. He will bring everything back together.
Yep.
Even if it doesn't end beautifully, Jon Snow will be there to make it happen.
He's Azor Ahai, and he's the missing Targaryen, and that theory is true, and
absolutely.
They just need to make it happen. Overall, my thoughts, you know, good, not great. Game of Thrones never starts or ends well. The first two episodes of any given season are very, we need to set everything up. And the last two episodes of every season is, we just killed a lot of people and we need to resolve this thing. So
that's good though.
Yeah,
that's how a good story should be. You know, there's the rising action and then the falling.
Yeah. So with that, you know, it was very episode one. It's not going to really get into the meat and potatoes of things until you get like three to seven.
But that's fine. Oh, and hey, how about Brianna Tarth for a little bit of action?
Whoa.
Yeah. I am so excited.
I'm on the Tarth train.
Hell yeah.
Boom.
She was a badass.
Yes.
And now they have a ragtag band of Sansa characters with them.
Yep. Sansa, Theon, Pod, and Brienne. All in one.
Should we talk a little bit about the books here and Lady Stoneheart? Because I think maybe they'll be doing that with Sansa. Do we want to discuss this? Should we not?
Go for it.
Okay. Your theory. Well, this is more. I'm asking Matt to respond to this because he's more familiar with the books than I am.
I don't think it's transferable in the sense that you're thinking of.
Okay.
For those who haven't read the books, don't listen to this next two minutes.
La.
But Stoneheart is
Catelyn.
Catelyn. She comes back to life in the books.
Oh.
Thoros of Myr raises her from the dead.
Who's
Beric Dondarrion? Is the guy, remember? Yeah, who? With the Lightning Lord, yeah. Beric Dondarrion. Do you remember the guys that fought the Hound?
Oh yeah.
And the Hound killed him, and the guy brought him back.
Yeah, what happened to those guys?
They're in a cave somewhere doing their thing.
Oh,
and they come across the dead body of Catelyn Stark.
Yeah.
And Beric Dondarrion gives his gift of life to Catelyn, who becomes Lady Stoneheart, seeking revenge on all those who...
Yeah.
Well, because she's literally... Her throat is cut so deep she can't talk anymore.
Oh,
so,
by the way, watch the Red Wedding with Guile's theme. Guile's theme can fit to anything.
Yes. So yeah. I don't think she'll necessarily tie to that per se, but we'll see. Maybe they'll...
At least the revenge element, I think. That's what I think will be happening.
Cool.
Anyway, okay. So what else happened in that episode? There was a lot of stuff. Some of it not as interesting as others.
Yeah, Danny's just doing Danny things.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in where that story is going. It seems to be going backwards instead of forwards.
Yeah. The bro trip of Jorah and Dario, though. I'm loving that.
That's exciting. I do like those
couple of bros doing bro things.
And bro chilling with Varys and...
Varys and Tyrion, yeah.
You know, bro's got a bro.
They were good in the... not last season. Or as the beginning of last season when they were heading to Daenerys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like their chemistry between each other.
Likewise.
Arya's going to do her Daredevil thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm still... excited to see, what's his face?
Bran?
No, Bran. I'm excited for him too. Mm. But I'm also thinking of Littlefinger.
Yes.
I want to know where he is and what he's up to. I think the man is fascinating, and I haven't seen enough of him.
Come back, Peter Baelish. Cool. Where are you? Stop traveling.
Yeah.
You're lost somewhere. You're rowing like Gendry. Where are you?
Yeah, what the hell happened to Gendry?
He's rowing.
Keep rowing until you find land. He just picked a really
good He got out of the Game of Thrones.
He's so buff when he lands.
I wonder if they'll come back to him at all.
Yep.
You think maybe he just got away?
I think he just got away.
He's got
I think
away,
he's the
right.
casualty.
Loose end now.
Yep. How about them sand snakes?
They're not that compelling.
Yeah.
I don't really like them. I think the cool ones have been killed, and now the lame ones are alive.
Yeah.
And I hope that what they do with that now is they just do army battles instead of character moments with them.
Yeah.
As much as I hate saying that, because I do love character moments in Game of Thrones, I just don't think the Sand Snakes are compelling characters.
Yeah. They have the Electra syndrome that you pointed out earlier. Let's make badass female character by making them fight and then giving them no character. There's just like their motive. Their motive was they're going to kill Oberyn's brother to avenge Oberyn. They kill his brother and then his nephew. Like, what? No. No line of logic supports that strange reasoning. It makes literally zero sense. It's also a significant departure from the book.
Yeah, they're trying to retake Dorne and like make the kingdom great, but who cares? No one wants to make Dorne great
Dorne's
again.
All the way out, so whatever, fuck them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So overall, it should be an interesting...
We are caught up. We are all caught up now.
Yeah, all right.
Not even close.
What?
All the video games that are yet to come. We've covered what we played.
Well, we can discuss all of those later. If you want, or we can, I don't know, do you want to discuss them now? Maybe we should save that for next week.
We can certainly leave it for there if we want to, because, I mean, yes, we will need to catch up on all of the up-and-coming video games moving forward, but perhaps for tonight, for just catching back up again.
For sure.
That will conclude.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Do we want to do any plugs?
Of course.
Yeah, come on. Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Friday night with your boy Phil Rea and now his new co-host Scott the Kid Human because Dave Powers punked out and he's focusing on his career and he wants to make money. I'm making air quotes right now, but good on Dave.
I get that.
He'll still be in the whole podcasting realm, just posting stuff on our group page. And he got me back into wrestling. I'm watching wrestling a lot more.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much, guys. And also to the New York Asian Film Festival.
Yes, I'm so excited for this. I'm going to go this year.
Yes, you should.
Last time I went was like 4 years ago.
I'll hook you up.
I got to go.
Let me know. I'll hook you up. SubwayCinema.com or if you go to Facebook.com/NYAFF, we'll get a whole bunch of info to you starting the festival starts June 21 until July 9th. It's 2.5 weeks this year. It's going to be
awesome.
So much work.
That's great.
It's the 15th year, so we're going to make a big hoopla.
Nice. Awesome.
I'm going to be so tired, but yeah, check us out. How about you guys?
Any more plugs? How about the Dice Breakers?
Oh, the Dice Breakers.
Launching on Saturday. Perhaps we will launch this podcast on the same day so that there's no...
Follow them on twitter.com/...
Twitter... our Twitter handle is The Dice Breakers. And you can find us on Facebook at The Dice Breakers. Well, Facebook.com/The Dice Breakers. Or however these things work.
I want to do it right now.
And especially check us out on YouTube at The Dice Breakers. We're just The Dice Breakers all across the board, but we refer to ourselves as Dice Breakers. It was an issue of getting the proper names on the proper channels.
Yeah.
Check out our videos. Learn some board games. And, that's it. I'm going to stop cross-promoting now.
No, it's fine, man. It's fine.
All right. Well, anyway, we have some great stuff, and you'll see it on Saturday.
Cool. Awesome.
I'm glad we got the band back together. We're going to aim to maintain regular podcasts moving forward.
Season two starting.
We're going to go for this bi-weekly schedule, yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm on board. Count me in.
Yep.
All right.
We may have to do a little Skype remoting
if need be, we can work out that Skype situation.
Yeah.
I just like really quality audio, as you guys might
you
be.
You
just
able
to
want
tell.
Me to be here and chill with y'all and have your pizza.
Yeah, Rom, I have fun with you.
I understand. I like Kitty Meow Meow right here. She's so cute.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, well, anyway, at that, I think we will be signing off here. Thank you for joining us. It has been a pleasure. I am Steve Landau.
Matthew Smith.
Rob Domingo.
And we'll catch you on the flip side, guys. GG. Good game.